This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how science fiction, horror, fantasy, and comics help us explore our humanity.
Hi, welcome to Season 2 of Bite. This is Tony Tolado.
And so parenting in an apocalypse, it's not the same way that we would do it, you know.
You know how it works. Interviews are usually 2 to 4 minutes long, but sometimes they can be a little longer.
Tony, when you live long enough, all kinds of strange things happen.
You're very right in saying that the Greek heroes were the original superheroes.
In part because of the hopeful nature of Gene's vision, but also because of its message of diversity and inclusion.
Recently, I spoke to the Greyhound sound team that's been nominated for an Academy Award. David Wyman, who's the sound mixer, Warren Shaw, who's the supervising sound editor, and Bo Borders, the re-recording mixer. Here's a sample.
What's amazing to me is that this movie was, the ship was really not out to sea. It was absolutely amazing. There's one shot of Tom where he's looking out at the ocean and you see the waves and everything. And you're like, wow, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear they were out there.
The incredible thing about that is that when Warren and I started working on the movie, we would see Tom Hanks standing out there pretending he's freezing cold, but you'd see New Orleans and a freeway. And why is he so cold? It looks like it's 70 degrees that day. But, you know, that's where actors are great actors.
Yeah, amazing. It really is amazing work and an entertaining movie to really highlighting something we don't see, that what that passage must have been like and the dangers. What about the German U-boat sounds? What was that like to, was it, how, I guess that took a lot of research too.
The thing that I love, and I love that question, the German U-boat sound, there's a signature sound to the German U-boat, which is, I mean, everyone would describe it differently. Some people say it's kind of like a screamy whale sound. And this again goes to what I keep repeating myself about how much I love teams. So that signature sound is the composer's sound. So that's a musical element. And Bo and I had things that we weaved throughout it. But what I love is when people, I just love when people don't know if that was the composer who did it or us who did it, because who cares? We think it sounds like a cool marriage. So yeah, big props to Blake Neely on creating that thing. We fell in love with it.
There is more Sci-Fi Talk, so stay tuned.
Was the whale sound his creation too? Yeah. It sounds like that's not going to work when you hear it as talked about it. But when you hear it, it totally works. It's really amazing.
Glad to hear you say that. We think so too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Sci-Fi Talk returns in a moment.
David, as far as, take us back to pre-production and mapping how everything was going to be. What was that like? I mean, you had to start somewhere. Where did you start?
I started with the admission that I knew absolutely nothing. I took the script and, I read through the script. And because I didn't know, I found the script almost impossible to get through. Because it was a barrage of orders. Now, the screen direction, that was fine. You know, Tom Hanks enters the flybridge and the pilot house and dons his battle gear. Okay, I can deal with that. But all of those orders and those repeating orders, you know, that's when I went to the kid and I'm like, okay, I have to understand how this chain of command works. Because if I can understand how it works, then I will know what to expect. So that was really the crux of the matter. And then the next step was, okay, now let's look at the script again. Let's read the screen direction so that I can understand when he says, the sonar man hears a ping in his headphones, grabs his microphone and says, da, 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 da. The talker listens in and immediately passes the order to the captain. Okay, so now I know what I'm dealing with here. So, okay, I've got a sonar guy who's going to speak, so I've got to record that. But at the same time, we may be shooting the talker receiving the orders, so he has to hear the sonar guy. Now, but the talker won't know where he is in the scene unless he's hearing the whole of the rest of the scene. And then the captain, you know, and so on and so forth. So you, wow, you start to build up this it's almost like this cascading image of what happens. So the next step was then, okay, so now we have to map out who is going to talk, who needs to listen, How are they going to listen? What equipment are we going to modify? And then you just end up with this list. And then you take this list and you sit at your kitchen table for about 3 nights and you list all the equipment you own and you list all the and, so, and then you, and I ended up making a flow diagram. I mean, literally just like, and I did a flow diagram for all of the signal flow. And then once I felt like I had that kind of down and I knew exactly how, who was going to operate what, where the equipment was going to land, what equipment we were going to use, we then, you know, took it to set and started to build it and put it together. And that's how that happened.
So Warren, has the sound changed from the 40s to today?
That's an interesting question. I learned a lot about what sonar was like then. One of the veterans I met was a sonar man, and that was especially interesting to have him tell me what it was. And the thing about the hydrophones that they're listening to and what they hear, that's not particularly that interesting or dynamic a sound. I know what it is, and I don't think we never thought it would read very well to an audience. So with sonar, once I knew that I felt confident what sonar sounds like, because I always want to know the starting point, you know, that I'm not making something up. Then with the sonar, we did allow ourselves license. We allowed ourselves license to make the hydrophone more interesting and scarier, and we allowed ourselves license with the sonar rhythms. There's a battle scene early on in the movie where the sonar man is kind of leading us through what's happening. And in that scene, we made a choice to have the sonar pings become a heartbeat throughout the scene. So if you listen to it carefully, you'll notice that they don't diminish when we go to they start to not diminish when we go between the rooms. It just becomes a constant, kind of a rhythmic musical thing that builds to the climax. Yeah, and that was something that Bo and I worked out throughout that scene. And we started playing with it, and the producer was loving it. And so we decided where we could bend the rules of reality.
Wow, that's amazing. That really worked. That was a great scene. I remember that battle very well.
Thank you.
Bo, it seems like a musician, timing is everything when you're mixing.
Yeah, that's true. And most people that do what we do come from some sort of music. And you know, that's beneficial, because I don't ever really look at it as, these are my sound effects, I want to hear every single sound effect. I just look at it as what's happening in the scene. You know, are we supposed to feel tense? Are we supposed to feel lonely? Are we supposed to feel angry? Well, somewhere in this, you know, in this ingredients list is some kind of combination of sounds that's going to help me, you know, feel that emotion. So what is it? And that's just the challenge right there.
Look for Greyhound on Apple TV Plus.
For Byte, this is Tony Tallotta.